Pale Hands That Kill.
Welcome, dear Helen. Welcome to the new shop of Maida Dressmaker.
Oh, thank you, Marie. Margaret is a charming shop.
Yes, Helen. It is a place where you will be able to learn much of my system.
Oh, I know that, Marie. Where is your husband, Paul?
Oh, I expect you will be calling for me shortly. You will be able to meet him.
Is there anything wrong? You sounded so sad just then.
I'm sorry, my dear. I was just thinking of the sad memories this lovely little shop contains. You see, there's a story to this shop, Helen. A strange and tragic story. Tell me, have you ever heard of Kathy Sloan?
Did you see her shop before you?
Yes, my dear. This was the place where Kathy Sloan, the dressmaker, daily performed miracles with needle and cloth.
Tell me about her, Mary.
Kathy was not a beautiful woman. She had charm. A vitality which she had from dress. And a talent. A talent addressed in her hands. They were long, pale hands. Lovely hands. They fascinated me each time I saw them. Kathy was married to Stephen Sloan, a painter. One evening, as Stephen entered the shop, he found another woman here, talking to Kathy.
Well, hello. Who's the breathing mannequin, darling?
Oh, hello, Steve. This is Alice Barton, my new assistant.
Wow. Welcome, Alice.
Thank you, Mr. Sloan. I know I'll be happy here.
I'm going to make that my own personal responsibility.
It's rather late, Steve. So we go.
Can we drop you off anywhere, Alice?
I don't think so, Mr. Sloan. I still have some work to do. Thanks, Mr. Sloan.
Okay, then. Be seeing you. I think that cab there hurt.
Oh, really, Steve? You embarrassed the poor girl.
Oh, that's the other way around. She embarrassed me. That girl is pretty.
Trying to get me jealous, darling?
Of course not. Driver, 12 parts out.
Now, Steve, I don't think I could stand the repetition of your last romance.
Don't be childish, darling.
He wasn't very tricky, either.
Let's drop the subject.
All right, darling. It's just the one present to me.
Well, it wasn't to me. You had the whole thing wrong from the start.
Oh, don't be angry, Steve. I've forgotten all about it.
Sometimes I wish I hadn't.
Steve!
You get it. I'm sorry.
What did you mean by that?
I don't know. It's not clear in my mind.
What isn't clear?
Let me alone, will you? Let me alone. Hello. Mind if I walk with you?
Steve, you're getting a start for a moment.
Now, Alice, do I look like the kind of a guy who'd pick up a girl on the street?
It doesn't matter what you do.
Oh, I've been waiting for you to come out of that shop for over an hour, Alice.
I'm sorry, Steve, but Father has an extra work for me to do, and I thought I'd get a chance with you. I didn't realize you were away now.
You knew I'd be here, honey, didn't you?
Yes, Steve, I know.
It's never since I've been seeing you, and if you know, I love
you. I don't know, Steve. She puzzles me. I think I catch her watching me. She looks so strange, and it frightens me.
Don't let her know. What can she possibly do if she does find out?
Except it, I don't know. Her hands have hurt. I'm frightened of them.
Oh, you're imagining things.
This morning she was crying out of breath on a mannequin. Her hands began fastening on the necklace, and I watched her fingers closely. They fascinated me. She curled her fingers around her neck and began tightening her grip, and it was as if she was trying to strangle the mannequin.
Alice, that's nonsense. Don't be that crazy. Who ever heard of toting a dummy?
But Steve, I was there. I saw it too.
Look, Alice, forget it. Just a little while longer, and we'll both be out of this mess. I'm in no mood for a triangle.
Neither am I, Steve. You have to make up your mind soon. Either Kathy or me. I'll get your dinner warm, Steve.
Don't bother. I'm not hungry.
Where's your dinner?
It's out.
By yourself?
No.
Oh, well, where did you go?
I stopped in at an outlet on 3rd Street.
Why did you phone me?
I might have wanted to go.
No, I forgot.
Look, darling, let's drop the pretense. I know where you've been.
But, Daddy, it's a little late for that witness stand routine. I'm going to bed.
Not until we understand each other, Steve. I don't intend to sit idle by and be made a fool of.
Look, Kathy, melodrama at night is too unnerving for me. What's wrong with you? You wear those lovely hands of yours to the bone if you keep twisting them like that.
I know you've been seeing, Alice. I won't stand for Steve. I won't.
What do you think you can do about it?
You've got to choose between us.
Will you leave me alone? This thing is coming around in my mind like a pop. I'll decide. And gone soon. Hello. From the depot. Prove what that cultured gentleman at the end of the bar is thinking. Right, you are. Coming right up.
Steve, how was he this morning?
She doesn't calm down like she usually does. I've got to admit, I'm a little bit worried about her, Alice.
I think that has to be heard about Madison yesterday.
That doesn't bother me, Alice. I know she wouldn't do anything drastic.
Then, what's wrong?
This morning, at breakfast, didn't hear a word. She just sat there.
Steve.
No.
Look out the window. That's looking into a cab. It looks like passing.
That's not Kathy. Must be gone. In fact, you didn't have a red coat like that girl was wearing.
Uh-huh. Here they are, folks.
Oh, thank you, well.
You just can't go on. I'm frightened. It isn't good for any of us.
Look, Alice. We need some fresh air, Let's get out of here and take a walk in the park. Maybe the fresh air will clear our heads so we can think.
This is about as far as we could go, sir.
Why, what do you
mean? Well, I can walk on easily from here. Just a short walk across the park.
Oh, I don't want to take you home.
I'd rather not. Steve, listen to me. We can't go on like this any longer. He won't tell me that it's so, but we know it. We know there has to be a stop. I can't help feeling that this isn't easy, Alice. I'm meeting secretly in that tiny closet, hiding it somewhere like an ugly skin.
What do you want me to do?
I told you. You've got to decide, Steve. You've got to make up your mind which one of us you want.
It's my home and Kathy against an unknown future and you.
I wonder. If you're here tomorrow night at the same time, I know you won't. If not, then goodbye.
Alex. Wait,
Alex,
wait.
Which one? Where's the bartender?
I don't know. He served me a drink and then went somewhere in the back. Hey, what's the matter? You got trouble?
Oh, plenty.
A woman, huh?
No. Two of them.
Oh, yeah, you really got trouble. Hey, look, take my glass. You need it more than I do.
Oh, thanks. You better finish it.
Look, what do they pay that guy for except the 10 bar?
I don't know. Oh, no, nothing. Oh, I thought we all that. Go on.
Yes, they're always taking them pictures. Always flashing those things off. Uh-oh, be careful, eh? Hey, you tore your jacket on that hook.
Yeah, I know.
There's a good tailor right down the street. So long.
Is that you, Kathy?
Yes, Steve. I didn't mean to wake you.
That's all right. It's getting pretty late.
I expected you to be waiting up for me as usual, but I'm glad you're here now.
Kathy, I've got to talk to you. It's important.
Not now. It's very late.
No, it's important. I can't wait.
Maybe you have to. Whatever it is the morning we do. Steve, you've torn your jacket.
Yeah, I caught it on a hook in a bar downtown just a little while ago.
Well, I'll relieve it for you in the morning just before I go to the shop. No one can tell the difference. I make the cloth look perfectly brand new. All right, I'm coming. Now, who can that be so early in the morning?
Is it long?
Yes.
I'm Inspector Conrad, Homicide Bureau.
Homicide Bureau?
Yeah. Sorry to disturb you this early, but it's important.
Oh, of course. Come in, Inspector.
Thank you, Miss Sloan.
Is your husband at home?
Yes.
Well, this fellow?
Inspector Conrad of the Homicide Bureau.
Huh? Well, what do you want with us?
I was just coming to that, Mr. Sloan. We'd like to ask you a few questions about the murder of Alice Barton.
Oh, no. Oh, can't mean it.
I'm afraid that I do.
But when did it happen?
Last night. She was killed in Brentwood Park.
Well, what do you want of my husband?
He was known to have been with Miss Barton last night.
That can't be true.
We have the sworn testimony of a bartender at a cafe where he and Miss Barton stopped to prove it. We also heard him invite Miss Barton for a walk in the park.
Steve, is all this true?
I'm afraid it is, Captain. But I didn't kill her. I left her a few blocks from her house, in front of the park. She crossed the street and went into the park where I left her.
Where did you go after that?
I went back to the bar where we'd been earlier.
The bartender didn't mention that to us.
But he wasn't there. He was in the back of the cafe someplace. I don't know.
Then how can you prove you were there?
Wait a minute. I have got something. I tore my jacket on the way out, and I hit by the door.
Yeah, let's see your jacket.
Sure.
You must have been very drunk last night during all this, Sloan.
What do you mean?
There's no tear in this jacket. Why, the cloth is practically brand new. The little dress shop on a side street has a strange story. Marie, the proprietor, stands before her new assistant, telling the story of Kathy Sloan, a dressmaker who owned the shop before her.
It is now easy to understand, my dear Helen, the tragedy of Kathy Sloan, who once owned the shop. Well, what happened after Inspector Conrad accused her husband Steve of murder? Well, the evidence was against him. As you know, he claimed that after he had left Alice outside the park on her way home, he had returned to the small bar where he had been with her earlier.
But he couldn't prove he was there.
And that is right. The bartender had not been behind his bar when Sloan claimed he had returned. But he swore that if he still proved he was at the bar by the tear in his jacket made by a hook on the door. His wife, Kathy, looked as he was in the jacket during the night. That's right. Rising early, he had fixed her husband's coat and thus removed his only chance of proving his innocence.
Oh, poor Kathy.
How horrible all of this must have been for her. So, the story goes on, Helen. It's so true. It's so true. Oh, what a terrible place this prison is. My poor darling.
What do you want, Kathy?
Steve, darling, Steve, I was only trying to help you. I didn't realize the tear in your jacket was your alibi.
Why did you hesitate just then?
Oh, Steve, why did you do it?
You think I'm guilty?
Steve, I will kill you.
You're in pain. I didn't kill Alice. Oh, stop playing your little hands of yours. I'm not dead yet. But, oh, those hands.
What is it, Steve? I don't understand you.
She told me, but I only laughed. She watched you with that mannequin. How you put those long, ugly fingers of yours around its neck. How you think it's dug in tighter and tighter.
Peter, you don't know what you're saying.
She told me. Yes.
Darling, please, you're wrong. I love you. Please.
You've got to tell me, darling. You've got to confess.
Confess? I don't know what you're talking about.
They won't kill me, Kathy. They'll find you out. You'll die for murdering Alice. Alice, the girl I loved. You hear that? Alice.
Please, don't.
I love Alice. I love her.
It's no use, Mrs. Sloan. I've heard this scene 100 times in my office here.
But Inspector Conrad, I tell you, he's innocent.
That's just what I mean, Mrs. Sloan. Of course, you say he's innocent. Any wife in your place would say that.
You're basing your evidence on the torn jacket.
There was no torn jacket. The cloth was perfect.
And I tell you that I rewove it. My husband showed me the tear, and I fixed it before he awoke.
I understand that you have a reputation as an expert dressmaker, Mrs. Sloan, but I still don't believe that you rewove your husband's jacket.
My husband isn't capable of murder.
I believe there isn't a person alive who isn't capable of murder. I'm sorry, but I'll have to end our interview.
Love to. He told me that, but I know he didn't do it.
He admitted to you that he was in love with her?
Well, yes, but that doesn't really prove anything.
Quite to the contrary, Mrs. Sloan. It only strengthens my belief that your husband is guilty.
Yes, who's it? My name is Jimmy Barnes. I'm the bartender.
I must say, I don't recall.
Oh, sure you do. Inspector Connell asked me to identify your husband. He's coming back a second time, but I couldn't remember.
Oh, yes, Mr. Bond. I haven't forgotten you.
Well, I simply saw it. I'm not saying I've seen him come back, but that's the truth, Mr. Bond. I had no choice.
Why have you called me, Mr. Bond?
Well, I have good news for you.
What do you mean?
Well, just listen to this. Just a minute. Some fellow just came in here a few minutes ago and showed me a flashball picture of himself and his girlfriend that was taken at the bar the exact same time your husband claimed he was in here.
I still don't understand.
Ah, but you will in a minute. In the corner of the picture, there's a man seen just walking away from the bar. That man, Mrs. Sloan, is your husband.
Are you sure?
That's part of it. As a matter of fact, the whole thing is so clear it even shows your husband's jacket being held by some sort of hook by the door, but it's not important.
Have you called Inspector Conrad yet?
No, I thought I'd let you know first.
Don't phone him then. I want to call him myself.
Well, it's safe.
Don't do a thing till I get there. I'll be right over.
But, Mrs. Sloan, why do you want the picture?
I just told you. I have an appointment with Inspector Conrad this evening, and I want to give it to him.
Oh. Well, I guess it's all right.
Oh, please, Mr. Barnes, the sooner I give the photograph to the inspector, the sooner my husband will be released and cleared of suspicion. Please let me have it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you are.
Oh.
Believe me, Mrs. Sloan, I know you've gone through a lot, but your troubles are all over now.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Barnes.
You're entirely welcome. Good night, Mrs. Sloan. Good luck to you.
You don't mind my calling on you like this, but I need a little more information.
Oh, not at all. I'll be glad to help.
And while we're talking, I wonder if you wouldn't mind repairing this slight rip in my sleeve.
Of course not. Let me have it.
Thank you. You know, Mrs. Sloan, I've been thinking quite a lot about what you told me today.
What do you in particular, Inspector Conrad?
About your husband being in love with Miss Barton. Tell me, why do you continue to stick by him, knowing that?
Oh, it's simple, Inspector. I still love him.
I don't mind saying that this case against your husband isn't as airtight as I thought. A couple of disturbing factors have come up.
You mean you discovered new evidence?
No, it's not quite that. You see, I thought all along that your insistence on your husband's innocence was just the same old story. But frankly, you've kept me wondering.
Oh, well, here's a call, Inspector Conrad.
Oh, thanks. Hey, this is an excellent job. You really are a wizard with a needle. I can't tell if the cloth was ever torn.
Yeah, I told you that I did the same thing with my husband's jacket, but you wouldn't listen.
I'm sorry. There's been a mistake. I'm going to release your husband from custody.
So you have the real murderer?
Not yet.
But you've got to get him. No one in the city is safe until you arrest him. It's safe as if you strangled poor Alice and broke her neck so that he's a maniac. You've got to get him.
We will, Mrs. Sloan. But with your husband coming home now, you'll have good protection. You'll be all right now. You haven't a thing in the world to worry about.
Come back, Kathy.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it's wonderful having you back.
Cut it out, Kathy.
Steve, what's wrong?
Don't touch me.
After the way I fought you already.
That's the only thing I can't figure out. It's probably part of your scheme to pin the murder on somebody else.
Oh, stop talking like that.
The little plan won't work. You haven't got a chance.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why do you think they let me go? They know who the real killer is. You can't live with a murderer, can't you? They'll discover you. They'll find you out. You can't escape.
Inspector Conrad.
Oh, Inspector, you've been talking slow. You've got to help me.
What's wrong?
It's my husband. He's gone crazy. Last night he slept, he was almost soothing the way he talked.
What did he say?
He talked as he described the killing of Alice Barton. And when he awoke later, I saw him coming toward me, his hand outstretched. It was horrible.
Did he hurt you?
No. I got up as he came near me, and when he quickly made the leave, he was just looking for something. Oh, please, but you've got to help me. I have been saying, I know it now. He's a murderer.
There now, Mrs. Sloan, you're safe here. No one can hurt you.
Thank you, Inspector. The whole thing's been such a nightmare. I always believed in innocence. And then to find that he really did kill her. It was just enough to stand.
I know how you feel. Excuse me a minute, Mrs. Sloan, but there's someone outside waiting to see you.
Me? Who is it?
I'll ask him to come in. Come in, Mr. Barnes.
Oh, thank you, sir. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Sloan.
You two have met, I know.
Yes, Inspector.
Do you like pictures, Mrs. Sloan? Mr. Barnes has a very interesting group photograph.
But it can't. I have it.
I'm afraid that's only partially true, Mr. Sloan. You see, there are several prints of this in circulation. Why didn't you show me the one that Mr. Barnes gave you?
Well, I lost it. Let me alone.
During this case, your husband tried to prove that he was in a bar at the approximate time Alice Barton was killed. You rewove the tear in his jacket, and thus disproved his alibi. But this photograph proves your husband's story. Still, you withheld it from me.
I meant to send it to you, but it slipped my mind.
Possibly, Mrs. Sloan, but there's one fact that you overlooked.
You're making a mistake, Inspector Conrad.
The last time I saw you, the night you proved your talent with a needle and thread, you told me something that made me release your husband. It proved him innocent and established the guilt of someone else.
I didn't say anything like that.
Oh, but you did, Mrs. Sloan. You forgot one fact, and that fact gave the killer's identity away.
What did I say?
You told me how Alice Barton had been killed, strangled, and her neck broken. That fact had never been publicized. It was known only to the police and one other person, the murderer. How did you know the fact, Mrs. Sloan?
Do you see, my dear Helen? This fact is quite a story to its name. They executed her, didn't they, Mary? Yes, Helen. Kathy was dead guilty in a few weeks after her trial, she was put to death.
And who is this charming young man?
Helen, this is my husband, Paul. Your husband? How do you do? Well, I must be going.
Well, can we drive you somewhere?
Hello. Oh, no. Thank you. Goodbye. And thank you for telling me the story, Mary.
Mary? Well, what did you do to frighten that girl, Paul?
Oh, nothing, Jerry. I just told her a simple story. That's all. Just a story.